Praise the Lord. I need somebody to do me a favor. I need somebody to throw this away. I'm tired of looking at this. Thank you. That last song is from that church that I was talking about. They sing a lot of that type of song because they must be a revival type church. And that one song that was they were singing, and all those people were there with their hands in the air. That's their actual church. They weren't out somewhere singing. That's their actual church, and it's really packed out, and it's a lot of younger people. But see what can happen if you just yield yourself to the Father. He can totally take you over and totally completely change you from inside out. I just thought the songs tonight were really good, really different, but we really needed that. We just needed to be still before the Father and just let Him take us over. Amen. Father, I thank You for Your words. I thank You for Your songs. I thank You for Your young people, God, that have sold out to You and are out there praising the Lord in such a fashion that souls are being brought to Your kingdom every day. And Father God, I thank You that You're with this church, that You're with Your people, that You're blessing. And I thank You, Father God, that Your angelic hosts are walking to and fro throughout these chairs tonight, doing the works that need to be done. And Father, I thank You for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. This morning we talked about God has us covered, right? Tonight I'm going to teach about captured at the door. My question to you is, will you go through the door Jesus opens? And I think it was on the word, one of the words for the day where God said He's opening doors. And He wants you to walk through them. So will you go through the door Jesus opens? I am convinced that we have been going through a door of far greater consequence for the purposes of the kingdom of God than we can think or imagine. Hear that? I am convinced that we have been going through a door of far greater consequence for the purposes of the kingdom of God than we can think or imagine. I'm talking about the years before now, the things we've been going through. Jesus is at the door. Revelation 3:20 says, from the Living Bible, "Look, I have been standing at the door, and I am constantly knocking. If anyone hears me calling him and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him, and he with me." Read that again. "Look, I have been standing at the door, and I am constantly knocking. If anyone hears me calling him and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him, and he with me." This scripture said He's constantly at our door, at our heart, constantly knocking, and He wants us to open up our heart and invite Him in. First, Jesus says, "Here I am." Where is He at? He's at the door. God positions Himself at the door of your heart. All hell has been breaking loose as new doors begin to form. New doors have been forming all these years, and all hell has been there. Right? Hell was at the door, but so was God. God had already positioned Himself at the door. He positions Himself at the most treacherous place where the war is raging. Every time, you have to get this in your spirit, every time that God opens a door of opportunity for you to walk through, the devil is there at that door too, and he is trying to stop you from entering in. Every time God opens a new door for you, there's always a battle to fight. There's always a war already there waiting for you. The enemy does not want you to walk through any door, and he will stop you at all costs. You have to be determined in your heart tonight that when God knocks and opens that door, you're going to walk through it, and the enemy's not going through it with you, but you're going through it with Jesus alone. A battle always comes with the door of opportunity that God opens. We are always opposed at the door. 1 Corinthians 16:8 says, "But I will tarry in Ephesus," Paul speaking, "but I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost." Why? "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." See that? Paul told him, he said, "A great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." See, the problem with the body of Christ is that they believe that just because God is there and God has opened the door, that there's going to be no battle, but that's not true. Satan is always vying for your soul. Always, always, always. Like God showed me when I was first born again, I was standing up here one day preaching. He said, "You're in a tug of war. I have one arm, Satan has the other. And we're both vying for your soul. It's up to you who wins this battle." So I knew from the get-go that Satan was always going to try to get me, and I'd have to fight to stay in the arms of Jesus. And I really want you all, I tell you this story over and over again, trying to get it down into your spirit so that you understand that you have an enemy, and he fights you. It doesn't matter. The more God loves you, the more the enemy fights you. And the stronger your anointing, the more you're fought by the enemy. So get that too. If you're being fought really, really bad, it's because you're very special to God and you carry a great and mighty anointing and you're going to tear his kingdom down. All right? This is where a lot of people sort of lose. They don't lose it altogether, but they sort of lose their salvation. They get discouraged and they want to give up because they had to fight. And they don't think they have to struggle. I'm hearing God say they don't think they have to struggle. Just because I've opened a door, they think they can just quietly walk through it without a struggle. And he's saying, but that's not true. There's always a struggle. Well, then I'll just give up. Now, why would you do that? You know, why would you do that? You don't give up. You're going to show the enemy who's boss here, right? You're going to show the enemy who has power and authority. Now, if you give up, all you're showing him is that you're a weak Christian and that God has no authority, and that's not true. You're not a weak Christian. You're a strong Christian in Christ, and Jesus has all power and all authority. We are always opposed at the door, 1 Corinthians 16:8-9. Oh, I read that, didn't I? Often, that opposition is in our own house, our friends, and our family. Often that opposition is in our own house, our friends and family. And Matthew 16:34 says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth." This is Jesus speaking. "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." Get that in your spirit. That's who's going to fight you. Why? Because that's who you love. That's who you're near all the time. And so if they have an open door, the enemy's going to come in, and he's going to use that individual in your house to try to come against you. He didn't try. He does. Jesus has been saying, "Here I am," where? At the door of your heart. Do your kids always get unconcerned about the things of God? Do they always sit around acting like they're bored to tears? You girls, that's a shame. I'm sorry, but you're really distracting me. Why don't you love the Father? He gave you wonderful words this morning. He gave you a wonderful home. You have a roof over your head, plenty of food in your tummy. You had a beautiful Christmas. Your parents don't even work. Well, they're writing books, so that's work. Why would you sit in the house of God and dishonor him like that? You know, when God spoke to me and told Brother Allen, he said, "Didn't you know that Satan spit in my face?" I never thought about anybody spitting in the face of God. And he said, remember we said to Brother Allen, he said, "Satan spit in my face," and he said he was more powerful than I, so I had to kick him out. And he said, "Whenever you disobey God, you're spitting in his face right now. You girls are spitting in the face of God. You're saying you don't mean anything to me. I'm not interested in being in your presence. I'm not interested in anything you have to say." There's grown-ups in here doing the very same thing, but these three girls just happen to be together, and that spirit is distracting. I don't want you to leave. I want you to sit there, but I want you to stop and think. Why would you spit in the face of God? He's done nothing but bless. He's never cursed you all. No matter what, he's done nothing but bless. Think about that for a while you're sitting there. All right, so did we read John 10? No, John 10, verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." If we are overtaken by Jesus, there is no way that we will miss the door, because he is the door. If we are overtaken by Jesus, there is no way that we will miss the door, because he is the door. You hear me? One, warfare at the door. Second, God is fully aware of the level of war at the door. So he not only positioned himself there, he used two additional means to let us know he was there at the door. The door is a place of conflict, opposition, wrestling, and the place where the battle raged. Let's read that again. Second, God is fully aware of the level of war at the door. So he not only positioned himself there, he used two additional means that let us know he was there at the door. The door is a place of conflict, opposition, wrestling, and the place where the battle raged. Now, you know, that young lady it was an older lady that talked to me last night. She looked at me and she got very serious and she said, "God knows that you can carry these heavy burdens that he gives to you. He knows full well that you're not going to back down, that you're going to carry out his orders as he directs them." And she looked at me and she said, "I would not want to be you." Because she said, "What God gives you is heavy, but you can carry it." Now, I know that about myself. But what does God see in you? How heavy of a load can he give you to carry? You need to think about that. You're just carrying a light load, and that means you really can't do too much for him. But if he's given you a medium load or a 99% load, well, then that means that there's something in you that's strong and it's not going to back down. And you're going to go forward no matter what. Amen. God both knocks and talks. The war can affect our ability to discern, to the point that we come to a place where we don't know if it is God, the flesh, or the devil knocking. Let's say that again. God both knocks and talks. The war can affect our ability to discern, to the point that we come to a place where we don't know if it is God, the flesh, or the devil knocking. And let's just stop there a second. Everybody, if they get sick, they know it's the devil. And a couple of people said, I'll just say sick. I'm sick and I don't know what door I've opened. It's a devil attacking me. And he said, my people give the devil too much glory for things that happen in their life. He said, it's not always the devil. Amen. So we said, what did we say? It is God. It's the flesh. All right. So you're sick. You're sick. Amen. And if somebody's praying witchcraft prayers over you, God's going to let you know that. We live in the atmosphere where there's bugs everywhere, right, in the air, right? All the viruses, whatever you call them. And you just might catch one someday. It's not a devil saying, there it goes, Grace. If I called you Joyce for some reason, let's attack her with this virus. That isn't the way it happens. It's just in the air, in the atmosphere. Brother Chris at Becker is sick as a dog. He didn't open a door. He just came in our door. When we was all sick and he got it. Amen. So let's just quit blaming the devil for everything. The devil just, God told me one time, the devil just sits around and he just grins. He rubs his little chest, because he's getting glory for something he never did. Amen. We never give God glory for what he does. We sure give the devil a lot of glory. God is not only knocking at the door to the new place, he will also talk us through it. This is just like our God. He is there to walk us through by making sure we open the door, by talking to us, and then by being the door, Christ in us is the hope of glory. Let's get this in your spirit. God is not only knocking at the door to the new place, when he opens the door, it's a new place you're walking into. He will also talk us through it. This is just like our God. He is there to walk us through by making sure we open the door, by talking to us, and then by being the door. Christ in us is the hope of glory. A couple of you today, I noticed as God was speaking to you, he said, I will walk through this with you. I am making the path. You're not making the path. God is making the path. He's opening door for you to walk in. He's taking you in a new direction. Don't fight him. Go ahead and let him open any door he wants to open. Don't you open the door. Let him open the door. The door that formed in the last quarter of 2016 was far greater than we realized. If you ever stop and think about what God really was doing with us in the last part of 2016, every service he was drawing us closer and higher, wasn't he? He was doing a great mighty works in us. To get through the door, God had to capture our hearts in a new way. And isn't that what he was doing? He had to remove this crustiness, the hardness, the stone-like covering described in Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. That's what God was doing for us. In fact, all of Ezekiel 36 is a picture of what God is doing with the church and Israel. Now, did you yield to what God was doing with you in 2016? When you came up here to the altar, did you really receive everything he had for you? Well, I think I did. Well, you did if you came up here and received. Amen. But I'm just asking you a question. Or did you just come up here and flop down? Some people just come up and flop down because they want everybody to think they're spiritual. I'm sorry, guys, but I know when you're down in the spirit, and I know when you're down in your flesh. Some of you go down in your flesh every now and then. And don't even go down. This morning I said, I'm not going down, my sister, because I felt the anointing as she walked toward you, but I went down. But also made myself get up. And that was the wrong thing to do because I wasn't ready. And then when I got up, I was really disorientated, and I had to time get myself together because I thought, I have to get up because I have to give the word. But God wasn't finished with me yet. Come on, just because you're laying there and you can hear things going on around about you doesn't mean that you're not caught up. You have to understand that too. But you're laying there and you hear things going on around about you, but you're caught up, but you can't get up. And so the day I said, I got to get up, I got to get up. And so I got up, dizzy. Come on. See, don't ever do that. Don't ever fight the spirit. If he has you down, stay down. God knows what he's doing. In 2016, God began to just fall on us. That's what he did. And we began to move into a repentance, isn't that what he called us into? Where suddenly we began to change our mind about things because we were overcome by God. It was not repentance as we usually define it, but it was a repentance where we had to truly change our minds about God, people, ourselves, and life. Read that again. It was not repentance as we usually define it, but it was a repentance where we had to truly change our minds about God, people, ourselves, and life. We had to begin to see, hear, think, and feel as God does. That's what he was doing with us. Now, as we enter into 2017, the church should be alive. The crustedness should be gone. Our hearts should be filled up with new passion, abandonment, and such a fresh sense of the love of God that we are being overtaken, falling on our faces before God and caught up in his presence, right? Are you there, church? Some of you aren't because you weren't caught up by those songs we sang tonight. Come on, think about this. Now, I'm not pointing the fingers. I wasn't watching you. I was just caught up with God. I don't know what you were doing. But I do know that some of you didn't get caught up because you're too busy in your own little world. So let's read that again. Now, as we enter into 2017, the church should be alive. The crustiness should be gone. Our hearts should be filled up with new passion, abandonment, and such a fresh sense of the love of God that we are being overtaken, falling on our faces before God and caught up in His presence, right? And my question again, are you there, church? You know, when I teach this, don't let condemnation enter in. The shoe fits, put it on, but doesn't just walk on. I have to teach you so you can grow. I have to explain what's going on in your life, right? So, who does she think she is? Well, I don't think I'm anybody. If we are the church I just described, then, you know, if we're the church I just described, then people cannot help but be drawn to us. And this is what God's trying to do, because we're a refuge in the storm. We're supposed to be winning Lower Delaware to Christ in the Delmarva Peninsula area. And so if we aren't all the people if we aren't what I just described, then the people are not going to be drawn here. The young lady that talked to me last night, she said they drove by the church and she was drawn to look at the church. And she said, I wonder who pastors that church. Let's just go back, circle around, and let's go in there. She was drawn to the church. Are you understanding that? Another lady told me last night, she said, I was going to go to my church, which was packed out. The parking lot was all full. But I was drawn to come here. See, she was drawn to come here. And she said, I was richly blessed. Are you understanding this? If we are the church I just described, then people cannot help but be drawn to us. Why? Because they are not meeting us. They are meeting God in us. Do you understand, you two boys, when you're standing out there greeting people, what you're doing to those people as they walk through the door? The God in you is touching them as they come through the door. It could be you, too, that the anointing's coming from as they walk through the door, because when they said, when I walked through the door, I felt the anointing. You understanding this? So don't walk around like you're nothing. Now, everybody want to be an usher out there. I'm sorry, we got our ushers. No. So we have been prepared for the harvest to begin. We have been captured at the door. This church has. I keep telling you, and people think, well, she's all puffed up with pride. No, I'm not. I know what this church is meant to for. I know what God wants to do through us. And I know that God's been teaching you people for a couple of years now so that He can use you to do exactly what He wants to do. We must rise up and enter into the now of God. And one of the words of the day was about the now. We must learn to operate in the now. What we do now will determine our future. Good for you, Holly. Is that Holly Kelly? I hope you do it again. She fell asleep and banged her head. Did it wake you up, honey? Are you startled, alert, and everything? So, Brett's beside us, Sally, saying, you're bad. You're like, I am. I laugh and somebody hurt herself. Larry said, there's something wrong with you. Well, I know. I'm glad I'm not alone. Okay, I said, we have been prepared for the harvest to begin. We have been captured at the door. We must rise up and enter into the now of God. We must learn to operate in the now. What we do now will determine our future. So what you're doing right now is going to determine how God's going to use you from this day forward. Aaron's lost it back there. He just can't control himself. He's saying, thank God I didn't fall asleep. That's what he's saying. He's wide awake. Isaiah 46:9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. He told that to one of you here this morning. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. When the Lord makes a declaration, He already knows the end of the thing. Recognize that you are on a path of life. It is set before you. You are urged to press along that path and endure that path until you reach the end. Read that again. When our Lord makes a declaration, he already knows the end of the thing. See, when God brought Aaron and Adam into the church from Virginia, wherever they was at out there, he knew the end of the thing. He knew what he was going to do the day he drew them here. I think by the website, right? Or by the email, I mean, computer somehow, brother. He knew that was the day that he wanted to start drawing them, and then he drew them here. He already knew the end of the thing. Recognize that you are on a path of life. It is set before you. You are urged to press along that path and endure that path until you reach the end. Endure that path. Whatever's on that path, you have to endure. Stop, you're bad. I'm trying to teach something. Laughter's like medicine, right? Thank you, Kelly, for hitting your head. It broke something in the church. You can smile, Larry. It's fine. There's a few more to have to catch it yet, then we can go on. Now, you ready? There are big boulders and potholes in the way, and oftentimes the path needs to be cleared out before you can begin, and you must always remember that they will be there along the way. Satan's always going to put the boulders in your pathway. But if God has taught you, he'll tell you, I've already cleared the way for you. And so how do you, what's your part? You have to stay close to God, and then God will go before you, and he'll clear that path. But if you don't stay close to God, the boulders are going to be there. In other words, the enemy's going to be there to try to take you off that path. Always remember that our Father is going to watch after you from the beginning of that path until the finish line, because he already knows the end. Revelation 22:13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. This is simply a statement that says, I am. I am, and I can make you well able to accomplish my purpose here on the earth. I am, and I can, make you well able to accomplish my purpose here on the earth. Don't let the war discourage you. When we hear the word war, we have thoughts of destruction, sorrow, grief, loss, conflict, and death. However, the Lord says very clearly, see that you are not troubled. Matthew 24:6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. On your path that God has laid before your feet, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. The enemy is constantly going to rage war with you and have a battle raging around about you. But he said, don't be troubled, because the end of your path isn't yet. You still have to keep going down that path until you finally reach the end of it. So don't stop when the enemy comes raging after you, all right? You know, one time God sent me on assignment, and, my first husband was having an affair with the lady where he worked, so I have to tell you that in order to get the story right. And so he said, I have to go up to work tonight. He said, I want you to go with me. And I said, I really don't want to go, because I was going to college and I was working and I was trying to get the house done and this and that and the other. I said, I have too much to do. And he said, please go with me. And God said, I want you to go with him. I said, God, I don't want to go. And then so here's what God did. He showed me a picture. He showed me his workplace. He showed me, as he pulled up to the front of the building, there was this lady. And then he showed me that the lady was enticing him to go with her. And then he showed me, he said, now, You get behind him, and you don't let him look back, but you can look back. So this was a dream. So in the dream, or vision, it was vision, I was wide awake, sitting at the table. And in the vision, I got behind him, and I had my hands on his back, and I said, keep walking and don't look back. But I looked back, and here come this lady after us, screaming, telling me how much she hated me. Then all of a sudden, she turned into a snake, was crawling on the ground. And God said, don't let him look back. Don't let him look back. And I kept pushing him. And then the snake turned into Satan himself. He said, I'll kill you. And he reached out to grab me. And God put a glass division between me and the devil. Then old smart me, I turned around and said, aha, you can't touch me. I was young in the Lord. All right. But that's what he showed me. So I went with him. We pulled up there. There was the very same lady that was in that vision. And she was mad at me. He said, come on, go in with me. So I did. And she knew she couldn't accomplish what she was wanting to accomplish. And she got furious with me. And we left and went, come back home. But anyhow, see how the devil worked? He was that lady. Then he was a snake. And then he was a devil himself. And then he was going to get me. But God, what I'm getting at is God protected me. He put a glass vision between us. And he beat on it. He said, I will get you. And I said, oh, no, you won't. He hasn't, but he sure has given me a run for my money, right? So where am I at? God has been. God has been speaking peace into our hearts. Therefore, we should be that generation that is arising that will go to war for all of God's covenant promises. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. See, this is a problem. We don't even talk to God about anything. We don't call out to him and ask him things. And he's really, really, really wants to show us the great and mighty things. He wants to reveal to us his secrets, the heavenly secrets, if we just ask him. Let God show you things that you do not know so you can walk in victory. Let him, like he gave me that vision, you know, then. My husband walked in victory. She didn't have him. She couldn't get him. But God showed me what was going on. Are you listening here? Don't be afraid of what he's going to show you. You know, be strong in the Lord. And understand that if he's going to show you a vision, then he knows that you can endure that vision. He knows that you're going to be able to carry out that assignment, or he wouldn't even put you into the thing. We need to understand that God of the now demands that he be Lord. Isn't that what he kept telling us? The God of the now demands that he be Lord. God of the new demands that his presence birth every purpose and plan in our lives. The God of the next demands radical and obedient abandonment to him. Let's read that again, Nancy. We need to understand that God of the now demands that he be Lord. First of all, he had to become Lord of our life. That's what he was doing with us all year. God of the new demands that his presence birth every purpose and plan in our lives. Now we're going into a new year, so he's the God of the new, and now he demands that his presence birth every purpose and plan in our lives. In other words, stay close to him, then everything he's promised you is going to come to pass. It's going to be birthed. The God of the next demands radical and obedient abandonment to him. In other words, the next door that he opens, he wants radical, obedient abandonment to him. By now, we should be ready for whatever God is going to do in 2017. Should be. Are we? Should be. Are we? Only you can answer that question. Only you and God knows what's going on inside of you. Only you and God knows how far you've come. Only you and God know if you really want all of him or if you just wanted part of him. Only you and God know if there was things in your life you still wanted to hold on to. And so you didn't let him go in 2016 and you carried him over into 2017. If you did, then you've doomed yourself to death, spiritual death. Because God said, leave it all behind. Remember, God is standing at the door knocking. Have you left him in? Only you know that question. And God said, tonight I'm still knocking. And I'm still asking you to let me in. Those of you who you know that you know that you know that when God knocked, you said, open the door, Lord, I'll walk through. And only you know that whenever you did that, whether or not you walked through with complete abandonment or you walked through with a few little pieces of baggage hanging on you. And if you know that you walked through that door, now see somebody, I'm not going up there because I'll think I did this. Only you know if you took some of that baggage with you when you walked through that door. And if you're one of those who walked through that door with some baggage, God wants that baggage tonight. Because he can't use you with any baggage whatsoever. You have to give him, give him all that junk. Some of you gave him that junk and you're still not free from it, but God has promised you, I'm going to perform a miracle and I'm going to free you of that junk. So that's a different story. But there's other people who just flat didn't want to let go of the junk because they enjoyed the junk and they held on to it. Now, that's the stuff that God wants tonight. And I'll make it easy for y'all. And God's saying, if you're one that you, when he knocked at the door of your heart, and you open, you said, I'll walk through the door, and you walk through the door, then God is going to give you a fresh new anointing to go down the path that he has laid before you for this new year. So you have two different types of people that's going to come up here. We're not going to know who you are. Isn't God good? And so when you come up here, he's going to do whatever you need done in your life. So the altar's open for the anointing.